Well, grace and mercy and peace be to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. I appreciate that. And today we're talking about the main ingredient. Now, have you ever had a situation where you're all set to cook something, and for some reason or other you don't have the main ingredient? What was the ingredient missing? What was it? Chicken! What? That could be a problem, right? So what did you do? Went to the store. Anybody else? What was the main? Okay, but not the same, right? No. Well, over here, what was it? I heard ground beef. Wow. Okay. So it's kind of a big deal, right, when you have the main ingredient and it's not there. I remember, and I'm not a great cook at all, but it was like Christmas or something when the stores are closed. And I was making something, and I didn't have the main ingredient. Get what it was now. I'm like, oh no! What am-? And you try to substitute, and it's never the same, is it? You just can't do it, right? The main ingredient. So we're going to talk about the main ingredient in God, in the kingdom of God, besides love, which goes on into heaven and is greatest. But besides that is faith, because the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him. That is God, and it's through faith in Jesus Christ, right, that we get to heaven. It's not by our good works at all. Not trying to be a good person. We're never good enough. It's all what Jesus did for us. We'll get into that a little later. But it's the main ingredient to be a Christian is faith in Jesus Christ. You can't be a Christian without it. That's it, right? And is there a need for Jesus in our lives today? Robert took Jesus home with him, right? To get him, had to fix the picture back there, and the frame was broken or something. Everybody kept breaking the frame and all kinds of stuff. So he got fixed right. For 2 weeks? Well, aren't you special? Well. And he's going to be a pastor, so ooh. Well, special invitation. And that's another, that'll preach too, because we want Jesus in our home all the time, but that's later on. We'll get back all these points. But anyway, the main ingredient is very important. Well, and there's a need for Jesus in our lives. Because when Jesus is out of the picture of our lives and not with our home, what happens to our homes without Jesus? What happens to our lives without Jesus? What happens to our nation, to our world without Jesus? It falls apart, right? And there was an example of the need for Jesus that happened on the roof of my apartment a couple days ago. You know, never know. Never have a boring life, right? Anyway, so this is what happened. I've got my satellite, right? And I got it about a year ago. And I'm curious, and I'm not as big a football fan as these guys that put decorated Bibles and Packers and Falcons and, oh my, got a zoo over here. But I was curious, because the main ingredient of football is getting a quarterback, so I wonder if the Cardinals are going to draft a quarterback, so I'd like to find out about that. So I turn on my TV, no signal. I go, well, this is not good. Not that I'm the biggest football fan in the world. I don't put Cardinal stuff all over the place, but I am. I think we need a quarterback. The guy we have, I don't think he's going to last the whole season, right? So I'm really curious. And then I see that it says, weather problems, no signal. I go, now, this is Phoenix, Arizona. I look outside. It looks pretty nice out. I don't think weather has disrupted my service. So I called and I said, I'd like to have service. They said, well, we're going to have to wait till tomorrow morning. So I listened to the radio to find out what the Cardinals did, and they did get a quarterback, which I'm glad. We'll see how that works. But anyway, that's not the rest of the story is this. So my worker comes on Friday morning, and he says, well, it's not weather. No, I kind of figured that it wasn't a weather problem. And I said, why I don't have a signal. He says, I'll go up to the roof, and I'll check. I'll be back later. So he goes up on my roof and says, you won't believe what you have up on your roof. I go, what is it now? He says, well, here's the deal. We've got two different providers in our apartment complex. I'm in a minority. The company I use, which is what you guys use, the rest of them use a different provider, right? So mine kind of stands out a little bit up there. Get this. The other provider came in and installed service from my neighbor. They took my cable, disconnected it from my receiver, and plugged it into my neighbor's, so it saved like about 45 minutes of work. So I don't have service, my neighbor does. He's all happy. Yeah, great. Well, so he comes and tells me, and wouldn't you know my neighbor, so my work comes in and he takes the cable from my company because it's not his cable. So he takes it off my neighbor's receiver, puts it back on mine, so now my TV works. Guess what? His doesn't. My neighbor doesn't. And he's outside, my neighbor's outside, and sees the cable guy. He says, well, I hope you're here to fix my TV. And he says, well, actually, I'm not here to fix your TV, because someone took the cable of ours and put it onto yours, and it's not yours, so I have to take it off. He says, so you're the problem, right? And here shows the humanity at its worst. The worker was an African-American, great kid, wonderful guy. And my neighbor, who is a crusty old guy, started cursing and swearing at the guy, calling him all kinds of names, the N-word, over and over again, cursing and cussing all over it. Nice guy. So he tells me, I'm so sorry. I says, I'm just sorry you had to go through all that. That's awful, you know. Nobody should obviously do that. And so I thought, you know, with all the curses he was given, I'm going to bless this guy. So I kept trying to affirm him and say, you know, really important. I'm so sorry you had to go through this. God bless you. And at the end, he says, thank you. I appreciate that. And I says, God's blessings upon you instead of all those curses, my neighbor. So then he said, well, my neighbor came out again, and he saw my worker, and he was trying to figure out which neighbor had the service that took the cable from his, so he was going to confront the neighbor. So my worker was trying to keep me out of the whole thing here. And he says, oh, by the way, up on the roof, they've taken bricks off of certain receivers. They turned my receiver the wrong direction. So I got all this going on the top of my roof. And then they said, also, and this is a word of warning for all of you. He says, sometimes they'll go up there, if it's an apartment complex, and they'll destroy the other person's receiver. They'll put dirty words like so-and-so, blah, 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 about this other company. So they got this war going on the roofs of our apartments, totally craziness. And I thought, you know, that's not a way to get business. Do you think I'm going to go to the company and look at the rates and see if I can save money? There's no way in the world I will even consider that company. In fact, there's going to be, might be a lawsuit because this is happening all over. That just shows the need. That's one little picture, illustration of the need for Jesus in people's lives, right? Craziness. And if you go on Twitter, which I don't, it's crazy what they keep talking about, you know, in sports, the people, the vehemence and the poison and the hatred that people have, that they'll just spill it out. And you see it everywhere around us, the need for Jesus, right? So we really need Jesus. Our world desperately needs Jesus. So here we are in chapter 8, and guess what? We finally finished the Sermon on the Mount. We've been in the Sermon on the Mount for what? I don't know how many Sundays. And the book of Matthew starts off with it talks about, of course, Jesus, John the Baptist, and that type of thing. And then there's a Sermon on the Mount for quite a few chapters. Now we're going to go into some miracles, then we're going to go into some parables, and then the last week of Jesus' life and his triumphant resurrection, just to kind of give you an idea. So now we go to the miracles section of the book of Matthew. And here it is. It says, basically, it's talking about the fact that Jesus got off down from the mountain, from the Sermon on the Mount, of all the sermons we've heard the last few Sundays, and there's a great crowd following Jesus. And out of the crowd, it says, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, leprosy was a horrible, horrible, horrible disease. It talks about this, and one commentator writes, leprosy is a particularly malignant, contagious, disease, though it's not hereditary. Spots of various colors appear on the body. Later on, blisters and other infectious diseases. The face soon assumes a placid appearance. Ulcers, atrophy, wasting away of the bone sets in, which may cause deep holes and even loss of entire limbs. In some fortunate cases, death occurs within a short time. In others, the disease lasts for many years. And among the Jews, lepers were considered unclean. And Daryl and I were talking just before the service that there's a whole procedure to declare a leper clean. And in that, they would have to get clean birds and the scarlet yarn and some water and go to the priest and go through this process to be declared clean, because it was very scary. Nobody wanted to get leprosy, so they had to leave their family, leave their jobs, go off to their own community with other lepers. And the smell was horrible. It was just a horrible disease, and there was no cure. Just like sin. And the Bible many times compares leprosy to sin. It infects everything about our lives, doesn't it? When we have sin in our lives, and like when I went through with this whole thing with my satellite and my neighbor, the way he's acting, other people, it brings the worst in us. When sin comes to the forefront, when our flesh takes over, who knows what's going to happen, right? We all have that part of us, that sinful nature, and it will not go away until we get to heaven. But hopefully the Spirit takes over more and more of our lives and less the flesh, right? So we all need Jesus desperately because we have that condition that's inherited, which is our sinful nature. It's like leprosy. It ruins everything, right? And even the good things we do can be tainted by sin. The good things of other people can be tainted by sin. And it's always there to plague us, right? It is a disease, for sure. But there is a solution to that leprosy of sin, and that's Jesus Christ. And so, amen to that. So this leper comes to Jesus, and he says, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Now that's quite a statement of faith. The Bible, the New Testament, has not been written yet, right? It's an act of faith saying, "You can do this, Lord." Not seeing others healed of it, but trusting that this man has the power, has the authority, and has the ability to do it, if he's willing. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, which is a big no-no. You're not supposed to touch lepers. He makes you unclean. That's another church law, religious law that Jesus broke. But did he care? No. Because he cared more about people, right? More about his Father, more about the kingdom, more about the need for healing than going through church rules and regulations. He said, "I will be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Immediately. The withering, the stench, the old, decaying skin became fresh like a baby's skin. Amazing miracle. Happened just like that, right in front of their eyes. Wow, that's the power of Jesus, right? He still has that power today. He still heals today, right? We've seen people heal today. Cancer, and it's amazing. And other illnesses and other diseases and things that have happened where God is still on the move and still works today, right? And many times the church in America has lost its power because the disciples, when they went out, they were taught and instructed by Jesus to preach and teach, but not just that, but to heal and to exorcise demons. Well, my seminary, they didn't do those last two. They didn't teach me about those two. I had to learn that another way. How sad is that? It's part of the kingdom of God. It's right there in the Bible. Oh, we don't do that. That's for the days of the apostles. Says who? Who said that? Who wrote that rule, right? So Jesus is still at work today. He still has the power. I'll hail the power of Jesus' name because he still has the power because Christ is risen. It's not just on Easter Sunday. We always talk about Jesus' resurrection. Forget it. No, he's still alive. The disciples went everywhere talking about the good news of the resurrection of Jesus and great power is upon them. They testified over and over, not just about a dead Jesus, but about a risen and resurrected Jesus who was alive and was with them forevermore. So we have Jesus with us forever, right? He is with us. He is here, and we glorify his name, and he still heals today. And so Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." And we mentioned those gifts and that whole process to be declared clean once again. Now, he says, don't tell anyone. Wonder why does Jesus say that? A lot of times he'll tell people, don't tell anybody, just do this, just go to the priest, go off. Well, there are a lot of people that didn't understand the kingdom of God, thought Jesus was just this person who's going to be a king and was get rid of the Roman government. That's not his rule, that's not his purpose. His rule is a spiritual kingdom, right? Jesus came to save us, and he wanted people to know him as their Savior. Not just their bread kingdom. He gave them bread or healed everybody, whatever they wanted, like a genie that's whatever you want, your wish is my command. No, that's not how it works. It's the Father's command that Jesus listens to, right? And he follows him. And the main ingredient to this is faith. When I came over here today, I had my glasses case, and I've got real small print from some of my commentaries. And we talked about that in Bible class, right? So I open up my glass case, there's no glasses. I go, well, it's going to be kind of hard for me to see, but thank God Robin has some glasses. But faith are the glasses that help us see. Without faith, this world makes no sense. Because sometimes in that one verse that we just sang, sometimes the darkness may seem to hide Jesus' face and the glory of God. When darkness veils his lovely face, there's another hymn that talks about that. And though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, we don't always see God's glory every single day. Are we always flying high? And Bruce, with all that you went through, there are wonderful times you had with Jesus, but there are times where you don't feel so good, you know? And there are times we all go through difficult times. But is God gone then? Has Jesus left you, left us, left the building? Like, oh no, Robert took Jesus. Now what do we do? He's not here anymore. He's not in the church. Church is not Robert's. But a lot of people act that way. Oh, well, the miracle didn't happen right away. Or Jesus let us down. And then people give up on God. They really do. So, well, I thought my life would be different with Jesus. Well, it is different. And it is better. But it's not always the way we want it, right? In the time we want it. And that's how we grow in our faith. The main ingredient is faith. And Dr. Dobson wrote a book years ago, When God Doesn't Make Sense. And another author wrote, Disappointment with God. And God is willing to take the chance that things will happen in our lives we don't understand. Like Job, right? He didn't understand all that. There's going to be things that happen. God takes the chance. He wants to see faith there in action no matter what. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 talks about the hall of fame of faith. All these people that had faith. Some were miraculously delivered. Others had such strong faith to get them through horrible situations. Both had faith. Some were delivered. Some were sustained by their faith. But either way, faith is important. Either the faith to believe in the miracle or faith to give the strength to go through whatever God or whatever happens to us, and God is with us. So the main thing is faith, and we have to have the glasses to be able to see God when He seems invisible, when He seems far away, when He seems like, where did you go? Did you check out? Are you gone now? Are you out of this church now? Do we have to find someone else to take over your place, Jesus? No, right? But so God loves, He looks for faith. And we'll talk about that. When He sees it, it gives Him such joy. Because it goes against our nature to trust in someone we can't see and who's someone who's invisible. But faith is important. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please. We don't have faith. We don't have anything, right? Now, how do we get more faith? Reading God's Word and praying and being with other Christians and hearing your stories. And we share in Bible class about what God's doing in our life. It's like, wow, and I'm not alone here. And that's why we take the time in Bible class to share our stories, because it builds up your faith. When I hear what God did in your life, I go, wow, maybe He can do that in my life, right? And I'll never forget last summer when you went down in front at the Harvest America Crusade. And it's when God works, look out, right? Amen. Just go. Amen. Just go. So this leper was miraculously cleansed and healed, and it was just an amazing miracle. And Jesus said, don't say anything right now. Just wait. The time will come when He'll talk, but it wasn't the time. And it says, when He entered Capernaum, a centurion. Now, a centurion is a Roman soldier that had 100 soldiers under him, and they were hated by the Jews, totally hated. But this centurion, with a lot of leadership, a lot of authority, came forward to Jesus, appealing to Him, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. Have you ever been around someone who's in constant pain, chronic pain? It's hard to watch that, isn't it? If it's a loved one, it just tears you apart. And you want to help them, and you pray for them, and you do all you can. But you feel so helpless watching them suffer. And this centurion must not have been a typical centurion, hardened and heartless and uncompassionate. He had compassion on his servant. He saw the suffering, and it moved him to want to do something for his servant. So he comes to Jesus, and he says, Lord, my servant's lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. He said, well, great, come on over, Jesus. Let's go to the house, and do we have to have Jesus come to our house? This is pretty cool. But the centurion replied, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I, too, am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. So he said, you don't have to bother coming to my house. I'm not worthy, Lord, for God to come in my house. And do we feel sometimes unworthy? We feel unworthy. Like, I blew it again, Lord. I messed up. I relapsed again. You've probably given up on me by now. Does Jesus give up on us? That's amazing grace, undeserved favor. He says, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. And he says, now repent and go and sin no more. But he says, I forgive you. And so this man says, I'm not worthy to have you come into my house. Just say the word. Have you ever said, someone said, just say the word and it'll be done. Say the word. We say to our Lord, just say the word. And it'll happen. I trust you. That's the power not only Jesus touched, as he touched the leper with his touch of healing and power, but here, it's the power of Jesus' words. The power of Jesus' touch and the power of Jesus' word. He just says the word and it happens. And he says, Jesus says, he marveled and said to those who follow him, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. He was just marveled. The one thing that gets God's attention is faith. When he sees faith in action, he gets his attention. He goes, wow, there's faith. There's faith over there. There's faith over there. So it's very important for us to walk by faith. He says, I tell you, many will come from the east and the west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness, and that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So in other words, some people said, well, I've got it made. I've been a church member all my life. I've been a charter member. I give money. I go to all the meetings. I go to all the church services. Does that matter? It's faith in Jesus Christ, the relationship with Jesus Christ. And some people who thought for sure they were in, like Flynn, oh, obviously, this is for me, they're going to be surprised because they didn't have a heart relationship with Jesus. And others are very humble. Says, I'm not worthy, Lord. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, that weren't under the right religious affiliation, who weren't part of the Jewish culture. They will be let in. And we're going to talk more about that in Bible class in Hebrews, because many people thought, well, as long as I'm part of this religious structure, I'm saved. The structure of the church doesn't save you. Who saves you? Yeah, only Jesus, right. So Jesus was marveled at this man's faith. He says, I don't see this among the Jews, this kind of faith. He says, you're in because you have that faith. And then to the centurion, Jesus said, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. There have been situations when people have prayed for someone and then they found out that that person was healed at that very moment that that person prayed. There's power in prayer, right? There really is. There really, really is. And God still works today, right? When we pray, we should believe. There should be this anointing and this activation of God's power. When we pray, what are we doing? We're connected with a holy, supernatural God who rose from the dead. And all the energy that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us to have in prayer, to pray for healing for people, and to trust and believe and realize that the Holy Spirit is alive and he still works today, and not just, well, that's just something that happened back then, a cute little story in the Bible. No, it still happens today. And we are so excited. Isn't it exciting when someone gets healed? And like, oh my goodness, when Sissy was healed after taking communion and she's crying, we think she's sad, and she says, oh, my back pain's all gone. Or the cancer's all gone. And this one coach, I mentioned this before, a basketball coach from South Carolina, talked about the fact that a few years ago he was dying in a hospital bed and the doctors gave him no hope. And this Asian lady came into the hospital room, sat there with him, encouraged him and walked away and prayed for him. And then after he left, all of a sudden he felt better and he went home from the hospital one or two days later and the doctors had no answer. And he tried to find out who this Asian lady was, and they said, we don't have an Asian lady working here in this hospital. We don't know who you're talking about. There is no one here that fits that description. So God does heal. And we need to encourage you. And there's so much that we don't see on this side of heaven. And a lot of Christians in Africa and different countries, let's just say it honestly, have stronger faith in the supernatural than we do. We live in a naturalistic, rationalistic world that has a cause and effect and analyzes everything. And these people just trust that Jesus can heal blindness, raise people from the dead, and it happens over and over and over and over there. And why not here? Right? And so because we don't have enough faith sometimes, Jesus said, one time his disciples said, how come we couldn't get answered our prayer? And Jesus said, oh, you have little faith. He says, only this kind can only come out with prayer and fasting, connecting with a supernatural God. And it's not our power. It's not a religious activity. It's only him. So the main ingredient. Don't forget that ingredient. If you're going to cook something, have those ingredients ahead of time, right? And if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to follow Jesus, you've got to have that faith before the storm hits. Because we never know when those storms are going to hit, when we get the call from the doctor, or that car accident that happens, or someone dies at work unexpectedly. We have no clue. We have no guarantees, right? So we need to have that faith now so we build on the rock of Jesus and we live in that constant relationship with Jesus Christ and we encourage others to have that same relationship while they still can. And there's nothing like living a life of faith, right? And trusting in an impossible God who with nothing with Him is impossible. And we praise Him and now we pray to Him. Lord Jesus, we ask that You give us more faith. Forgive us for our lack of faith, our lack of excitement, our lack of anticipation for what You can do. Lord, we ask that You would help us always have the main ingredient in our Christian lives, faith in You. Faith in You, Jesus. Help us, Lord, and when that faith gets real weak, help us, Lord, to have others that will strengthen us, to go to Your Word and trust You no matter what. We ask that You be with those whose faith is weak right now, that You would strengthen them. We ask those that don't have any faith, that they would see You in a new way with dreams and visions. We ask, Lord, that You would continue to work miracles in our lives, in the lives of our loved ones and even of our enemies. That You would change the hard-heartedness of hearts that are around us, Lord, of the leprosy of sin that decays and ruins everything around us. Lord, in Your mercy. We thank You, Lord, for Your love and Your presence. You're always with us. We ask you continue to be with us and do not take Your Holy Spirit from us. Keep us strong in the faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.